Let's see if you can hear me.
Can you hear us? What?
Mic is on.
It's on mute now, then.
No, it was not. Alex, can you hear us?
I can, yeah.
Thank you very much. Hope your feelings are really best.
Now, sometimes you tell me to push it away and I'm too close, and sometimes you Is everybody ready now? Phones down.
Do not disturb is on.
Everybody's ready. Because if we're ready, I'm going to call this meeting to order. It is February 24th. It's the board meeting of the Oralama Sanitary District. I'm meeting with a call to order, please. Roll call.
Director Simon.
Present.
Director Dean.
Here.
Secretary Duncan.
Here.
Vice President Lee.
Present.
And President Young.
Present as well. Yes. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. This is a time for general public comment for anything not on our agenda this evening. We have some members of the public.
Would you like to speak on anything other than the district elections? I don't have a general comment, but thank you for asking. You're very welcome. If not, then we will move on to item five, which is a public hearing.
We are waiting for additional council to arrive, but we do have Council Alex Mogg online. So I will turn this over to Mr. Dang for introductions.
Yes, so we have our first public hearing related to the transition to district-based elections. We have consultant Matt Turner with Turner Communications here that will provide a presentation from Turner Communications Group related to the outreach process, the criteria for districting, and the boundary map option. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Matt Turner.
All right, good evening. We're going to have the screen share here available momentarily. All right, here we go. So tonight is the kickoff. I'm pretty excited about this process. We're gonna move into districting and I'm gonna go over what that is exactly for those in the public or for those who wanna catch up on this meeting in the future. 101, what districting is and the process we're gonna go through. We're gonna talk about at-large versus district-based elections, basic definitions. The timelines and milestones of this project, rules and guidelines for mapping, and then public outreach and participation and why that's so important. And then we'll have Q&A and where you can question my answers and I can answer your questions. So first off, for those who don't know, and I think you know the board certainly does, but for those who might be watching this later, what is districting? It is simply transitioning from at-large to by-district elections. To understand that a little better, New York City actually provides a great example because it's got five boroughs. People understand how a city's divided in that way. And imagine that everybody on city council and the mayor were all from Staten Island. That is how at-large can work, usually doesn't, but that's a possibility. However, if you have district-based elections, every district gets a chance to have its representative on the board. And so the timeline for that, Alex put a fantastic timeline together. I compared it to many other timelines in over a dozen other districts that are comparable. And this is an excellent timeline in terms of potential for outreach that's available. Pending board approval of this outline, we'll move ahead with this. And if there are any questions on this one, I can come back to this slide towards the end. So the essential criteria for drawing districts. First, all five have to be of equal population. And they have to be contiguous. And that gets a little tricky, especially in this district. Contiguity doesn't just mean that they touch each other on the map. It means that if you are in that district, that from any location in that district, you can get to any other location in that district without having to leave that district. And because we have BART and three freeways and railroad tracks from Union Pacific and creeks and other things like that, it can actually make the map quite complex. So it's an important detail to be very specific on. And then compactness. Even if there are some struggles, we do need to keep it from being windy, gerrymandering-looking, snakes that move across the map. Maps, the district should be as compact and blocky as possible. And then, of course, we have to have California Voting Rights Act and Federal Voting Rights Act compliance, and also the Fair Maps Act compliance. And then finally, we're going to consider communities of interest. Now, some of that isn't necessarily legally required, but it is a best practice. And how communities of interest are defined is something that's open to interpretation and is best actually heard from the community itself. There's a lot going on our map. I'm going to dive into this a little and zoom into it. Oops, go back one. This overview of the general area of Oro Loma, as you can see, when you have all of the various districts laid over it, is quite the mess of spaghetti. We have multiple congressional districts, multiple assembly and state senate districts, four school districts, four fire districts, three park districts. The list is long. And so the services that folks from any given neighborhood rely on and who they seek out when there are problems can help define who they are in terms of voting blocks. And so having a deep level of knowledge of that is pretty essential. And who best to do that other than the people who live there? They know who provides them fire protection or who they call for 911, and those things help orient a community along with where people shop and go to school. And this is a kind of a deep dive for the beginning on what is the Oro Loma Sanitary District in terms of population. This breakout is something people don't often see. People don't usually consider that there are, almost 13,000 folks from Hayward in the service area, or almost 14,000 in Castro Valley. It's a big district spanning many different areas with significant geography and infrastructure changes across these areas. Yes.
Do we not have that map in your display? Not on our agenda.
No, I can make sure that you have a copy of that. That was part of the animations of the slides. So happy to send that to you.
Real quick, when we adjust the minutes, let's make sure that the latest slides are on the minutes. Yeah. I like to see it now myself, but.
All right. I'll try to squint. All right.
As soon as this presentation is over and during the Q&A, I can make sure that I email it directly to each of you. So you'll have that particular screen immediately.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Send it to staff and they'll send it to
okay,
us.
You got it.
Is Castro Valley part of our district?
No. Yes, very much so. So on this particular map, everything in gold is Castro Valley.
But we don't do their We only do their treatment of their the wastewater, and they have their own board.
No, that so part of Castro Valley is covered 100% by both trash and sewer. Everything on this gold map is both trash and sewer. The other areas of Castro Valley have the Castro Valley Sanitary District.
Okay, I get it. I get it. I always forget about the other piece.
And it's five canyons, Hillcrest Knolls, Fairmont Terrace, El Portal, and a little bit of the Bayview neighborhood are all included in the Oro Loma Sanitary District.
And I always think Castro Valley proper, and it this is kind of like an annex. Thank you. I get it.
Okay.
Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead.
No worries. So I can... Before I get to Q&A, I was going to do a very brief demonstration of the mapping tool that will allow the public at large to work on a project like this. So here's the district, and this is an open source tool, but this is on my website, You Map It. And I'll have that link available, and it'll be shared on the Oro Loma districting site in a couple, hopefully by the end of this week, but maybe within a couple of weeks. So it's simple interface here. You can just grab a paintbrush, pick a color, and start painting a district. It's as simple as that. And as you paint, demographic information is available. So we can look at... I'm going to throw on unincorporated boundaries so you can see where, you know, Fairview, Castro Valley, Ashland, Cherryland are and San Leandro versus Hayward. And in that evaluation, you can look at ethnic demographics, age demographics, voting age demographics, things like that. And they're all available. And as you're painting, if you've already made it a district that looks really good, you can lock it so that you can paint other colors without having to worry about coloring over it. And then you can save these things, and they will all be publicly viewable. So there'll be a page on the UMapIt website that'll be linked from the districting website from Oro Loma that will where you can see every map that everyone from the community has put together. And then as we go through those maps in the future, I'll be able to do a demographic analysis of those and check them for Fair Maps Act compliance. And then that will ultimately, at the end of this process, winnow out a set of maps that you all will vote on to determine the new districts. With that, I'll do Q&A.
Because this is a public hearing, we probably should, if you have a clarifying question, Director Simon, otherwise perhaps we could let our one in-house public member make a comment. Can you wait? And I think we have one person online, do we? We have more than one?
I've asked for anyone.
I'm here. I just got here. Sorry, I'm late.
All right, we'll ask. Perhaps, Patricia, since you have the computer with access to the online, you can control who speaks. I will introduce the first and only speaker in our boardroom, and that's Tyler Dragoni. Tyler.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Cool presentation. I just want to be here and say I support the process. Interestingly enough, yesterday was when my government class covered by district versus at large, where the House of Representatives is by district and our senators are at large. And I took an informal poll of my students, and all the students that responded to the poll while in class said, we believe that by district is a better way to represent the population. And I asked them, why? Why do you think that? And they said, well, it just makes sense that that those from the area which are governed are those that are represented. So, you know, I just wanted to say thanks. And overall, I think this is a cool process. I think it's a good process to go through. And I think it catches Oro Loma up to the other special districts that are in our area. So it's as you know, from one community member to others, we appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Dragoni. And Patricia, do you want to introduce the next speaker?
I have asked for those on Zoom to raise their hands to indicate that they'd like to speak.
I don't see any.
I don't see any raised hands.
Okay. There's one, Lawrence Abbott. Is that correct, Mr. Abbott?
Correct. Can I go?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. I should have said, may I go? appreciate it. So
I you
also,
can and you may.
Thank you. I also really appreciate the process, and I think it's long overdue. And I just have one question about communities of interest. Is it more about demographics, or could it be how close you are to a certain feature that Ora Loma has jurisdiction over, or sort of a regional, you know, how people associate with a certain region?
The answer is all of the above. A community of interest is how you define it. It could be that everybody has a shopping center that they like to go to. It could be that there's our particular neighborhoods that have a higher ethnic density of one type or another. But those things can't, you know, particularly along the lines of ethnicity or politics, party affiliation, those things can't be counted in terms of you know, setting up a district that way. You have to make sure that you're not unfair to people, but you can't make a district solely based on race or political affiliation.
Thank you.
Other than that, you can use any, you know, like, do we call the sheriff, or do we call Hayward Police, or do we call San Leandro PD, or, you know, you know, those types of things, or, you know, what shopping centers or schools kind of are a focus for your community. Those are the things that can make up a community of interest.
Thank you. It sounds like the process is really fair, since you're going to have all the different meetings to take public comment. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Abbott. I'm not sure. Erica.
Thank you, President Young. Just for clarification, there's a allotted time for each public speaker. It doesn't require engagement, but questions can be directed through the board to the consultant. Thank you.
Oh, do we have another speaker? I don't see any hands raised. Is there someone else?
Please raise your hand or indicate in the chat or whatever other method, if you're unable to use the raise hand feature, to indicate that you'd like to make a public comment. Otherwise, we'll wrap it up and send it back to the board for discussion.
Unlimited your way. You can make it and match our best plan. Plus, you can change your plan at any time without any change being.
Okay.
All right. What was that?
Someone had
nothing.
Unmuted.
Okay. So I don't see any additional hands. So I'm going to close the public comment portion of this meeting and bring the question and answer period back to the board. Thank you, everyone, for your comments.
President Young?
Yes.
May I read one comment in the chat from member of the public, Jackie
Props? Of course.
Props. I am here just to support this efforts because this is how we should work. Thanks.
Thank you for your comment. Right, Director Simon, you had a question?
Yes. My first question, there was the slide or the tool that you were using to show where the different districts could be. That will that be online for any member of the public to use and modify how they see fit?
Yes. And people can work in groups on a given map. It's a wide open community process. You can even name your map with a team name if you're having a group of people working on it, and it'll show all the draft iterations. It's a very open process and very accessible.
And will those different maps prepared by the public, how will we as a board see those?
So at a certain point, and it's on the calendar. I can bring that up again. There are deadlines that maps have to be published by, and when that before that deadline comes, we'll publish those on the umapit.com. That'll be accessible via the Ora Loma's link on the districting page. So that everybody can you all can see and contribute and make your own maps if you so choose.
Okay, and then when do we as a board, let's see, in the schedule here, what is the first date that we'll be reviewing all of these? Is that 4-1?
back on for the second hearing on 324.
324 will be the beginning of the mapping tool usage, and I will officially, and I will go into a deeper tutorial so that everyone on this board is familiar with how to use the tool and how the public will be using the tool and where to find the maps that the public is are contributing.
Okay, so but we won't see any maps from the public until 4-1.
Well, you might see some sooner than that if people I'll be sharing the link with staff. And if ahead of that, and if you all want to share that, that's up to you. But the official kickoff for the public learning how to use the map will be on the 24th of next month, so 30 days from now. But the initial maps will have to be published by the 14th, 7 days before the 14th. That's the legal requirement, is that maps that you're going to review in the third and fourth meeting will have had to have been published for at least 7 days prior to your meeting to discuss them. And in that time, also, I will be laying out a significant analysis of each of those with a write-up for you all in the spreadsheets about what that data looks like, so that you have, district by district in each proposed map, you'll have a detailed analysis of the feasibility and characteristics of those districts.
Okay, so the public prepares maps, as many as they like. Do you prepare a map?
Yes. I will be preparing five maps. To choose from that, where I can, because there's no guarantee that the public will make maps that are Fair Map Act compliant, whereas I have to be able to guarantee that you will have at least five choices to choose from of qualified maps. But as I've found in other places, the public, it's fairly easy to understand what's needed and required, and quality maps do come from the public generally. So those will be brought forward.
Okay, and when do we see your five maps?
I would guess that I'll have those ready by the 24th. And so you'll be able to review those, even though you won't be selecting those as final things. The third hearing will be the first time that you're actually looking at maps and going over them in detail. But if you want to peruse them on your own, they should be available by the next meeting.
March 24th?
Yes.
Okay. And one more question. For now, back to the community of interest. I just want to understand that a little bit more. Exactly how does that work in the mapping sequence with your tool?
So there's a separate map tab that's not available on the test site that I put up, but it will be available in the future, and where you can choose draw my map or draw my community. And when you do that, you can define your area and see what the metrics are. You know, what are the various demographic categories that apply to that? How many people is it? What types of people? How old are they? And, where do they live? All of that stuff. And then you can leave your own notes as a member of the public about what makes that a community of interest to you. And those things help inform everybody about how we might draw districts to make sure that communities of interest have integrity rather than, fractured into parts where they don't have a voting block.
You're welcome, Director Simon. Director Duncan has her hand up. I'd like to let her speak since she's 3 hours ahead of us.
Thank you.
Duncan, certainly.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my question, Matt, is you reference a website where this tool, a districting website, where is that going to be located? Can individuals get to that website through our website?
Yes, that is the plan. And what is typically done in districting processes that you currently have, your staff did an excellent job of establishing very quickly a districting information page. And on that page will be a link that will lead to the mapping tool and a place to be able to view the maps that everyone has contributed.
Okay, so like right now I can go and see the districting information on our website?
Yes.
Thank you. That was my only question.
Director Duncan, Director Dean.
So we're going to get 5 maps from you before 3/24.
They would be on 3/24 at least before the time when you'd hear them publicly, because even if they're available, they're not for discussion publicly until the third hearing.
It's just like a lot of us like to be able to do our homework before we come to a meeting. So that's just where I'm trying to go here. I don't like to come in cold, and I like to be able to think about things for a day or two, look at them a few times. So do you think we'll get them like 3/22 or?
Well, 3/24 is not for discussing maps. That's not part of the timeline.
Okay, so 4/1. So that would be by 4/1.
So the draft maps would all have to be available to be published by 4/1, because they will have to be published 7 days before the 14th. So on 4/7, any map you're going to discuss at the 4/14 hearing has to be published. So that's the legal deadline. I want to be done with that way ahead of time, so that, you know, I don't want to do any last minute stuff on that. So they should be available before then, but that's
before what date?
They should be available before the draft date legally, but I want to have them
before 4/1.
Yes.
So like perhaps 2 days before 4/1.
Maybe much further.
I'm putting it on my calendar. Okay, so I'm going to say 2 days before 4/1.
Yeah, 4/1 is the legal deadline to hand in the maps.
And then as far as the districting tool, the information on mapping tools and rules, you're going to be explaining to us on that day your umapit.com tool. When are we going to get that so we can peruse it before we come to the meeting so we have a better understanding? Will we also get that 2 days ahead of time, or?
Should have it well in advance of the next meeting. I can't give you a date certain, but definitely before your packet goes out, the info and links for that will be available to you.
Okay. Then you said something about contiguity, how the districts need to touch each other, which is incredibly difficult when we don't all touch. Fairview Five Canyons, right? Doesn't touch the rest of the district. Then you said something about can get around the district without leaving the district. Can you explain that to us a little better, please?
Maybe I'll go to a map here where we can demonstrate that.
Can you make that any larger? Yeah.
So I'm going to use the mouse here. It's not really wanting to cooperate. I'll try to explain it as best I can. So imagine that you are in Cherryland, and part of your district, though, goes into you could draw a map that would make it so that you would have to go out of your district to come back into it to be able to cross the railroad tracks. It'd be possible to do that. And that would not be, allowable, because you need to be able to travel within your own district without leaving it as part of the rules of contiguity. So, for example, if you were to make Castro Valley all of one block, the Hillcrest Knowles community is separated, and you cannot actually get there from other parts of Castro Valley without leaving that part of the district. So Hillcrest Knowles really should be connected to San Leandro, because that's where you can actually, walk or drive from one to the other without leaving if it's part, if it's combined that way. So it requires a pretty intimate knowledge of the neighborhoods and looking at where the barriers are, whether it's bridges across creeks, like in Meekland, and other things like that, that would allow for contiguity beyond just them touching at the maps, but your ability to travel from any one part of a district to any other part of a district. That's an essential piece of that.
Okay. And can we keep this slide up? I can't read those numbers. What does it say next to Ashland as to the population?
I'll be happy to read them all out if you'd prefer.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, so we have Ashland at 23,837, Castro Valley at 13,494.
Wait a second, 13,494?
Fairview at 10,653. Hayward at 12,761. Hayward. 12,761. Sorry. Right. San Leandro at 39,885. Cherryland at 13,458. And San Lorenzo at 29,554. And these are all the census numbers from 2020. So those things are changed, and we'll get an update in another 4 years.
And where do Five Canyons and Hayward Acres come in with this?
Five Canyons is Castro Valley.
Okay.
Hayward Acres is considered part of San Lorenzo on this map.
Okay. And what is the total number when we add these all up and we divide by five? What is the total number that we will have for each district approximately within the variable that's allowed?
In the high 27,000s, so almost 28,000.
So almost 28,000. All right. Wow. All right. That tells me a lot.
But what does that number represent?
Size of each district?
Well, the 25 or 27,000 you said.
Mm-hmm.
So if we multiply 27 by five, that's the total. I was confused about what you said. Thank you,
Matt. Yes, can you Alex. Can you touch on the allowed deviation between the districts that might
That's an important element. So there is, you don't have to have every district, you know, to the exact person in population. It's not really possible. But the deviation as a total can't be more than 10%. And that's that doesn't mean you can have 10% between one district and another. That's, you know, plus or minus two or one here and there across all of them cannot reach a total deviation of 10% plus or minus. So you want to get them as close as possible, but there is going to be some variation. That's just, you know, the reality of mapping with census blocks.
Most of our other districts that have done this in the last 5 years have come within that 1 to 3% deviation, right?
Yes, it's you know, if you're,
so it's doable.
Yes, if you're diligent and driven to do that, you can become very close to perfect equality.
Okay. I do have one more question. The fourth hearing, what does that, it's the fourth hearing, it says it's the second map and sequence review and editing.
So
Alice, can you talk a little bit about that? Because
And there's a lot of discretion for your board and how these meetings are run when we go over maps. You can take all the time that you want to do deep dive into, you know, every census block of every district if you want to, and have public discussion and robust discussion amongst yourselves. I've seen it done that way. I've also seen it where people are kind of like, well, I think we like this one. It looks nice. Let's do it. But I think the best process is when there's a fair amount of deliberation and discussion, and the merits are weighed about the different maps. That's my personal take. It's entirely at your discretion how you want to handle that. So I'll be available for as much or as little time as you like to go as deep as you want to into the numbers of each district, as the maps have them configured. And there'll be a detailed write-up of every map that is a legally compliant map, because I think it'd be a waste of our time if we were to entertain maps other than perhaps as a few examples of what not to do for ones that won't be compliant, and that can lead to a lot of discussion when you look at what the actual metrics are of each one and what the pros and cons are and how those things take into account in various communities of interest. And everyone's going to have a different idea about what communities of interest are. And those are times where we'll be on those two map hearing meetings, the final two here, the third and fourth hearing, will be the opportunity to really do a deep dive into that and take all the testimony from the public that's been submitted either by map or by comments or by in person.
In general, the other local agencies that have done this, what have their communities of interest looked like? Do you have any knowledge of any of that?
It's really all over the map. Some people wanted to focus on school because it depends on which kind of geography they're dealing with. Some of them are all within a given city. For example, you know, if you're looking at Rohnert Park or somebody, you know, the things that make them a community of interest get much more specific to maybe even which elementary schools their kids go to or which grocery stores they go to or, you know, other things. Whereas like with when HARD did theirs, you know, it's across one big city and a huge unincorporated area. And so there's different governmental types and different geography, different, you want to make sure your map is demographically diverse, that, so you have equal representation. There's a lot that goes into something like that. But it can be very simple as well. So it's really for you all to decide what you want to prioritize as communities of interest.
Okay. And when is our final due date to the county? Do you remember? It's somewhere at the end of June, right?
No. Yeah.
It's in May.
No, June 11th.
June 11th.
I believe it was June 11th. That's what I heard.
Is that the date?
I'm trying to pull up. It was in June.
I just recall that from discussion.
But the fifth hearing, which would be the you know the one where you actually adopt the map that you've selected, that's well in advance of the due date, so you should be in the clear.
I just might have a conflict on May 12th, and that's why I'm asking. I'm trying to find out when our final due date is.
So five.
Because we're going to vote on this calendar tonight, it'd be nice for me to know.
So the final date of actually voting on the map to adopt would be on May 26th.
To the county, when
June 12th is when they have told us they need it by.
You were close, Benny.
Yeah, I was told June 11th.
Yeah. I said the 12th.
I was a month off.
June 12th. All right. So we really need to get it done by the 26th. Okay. Okay.
Actually,
and I'll be able to zoom in. That's not going to be an issue to be able to zoom in on the 12th.
Correct.
All right. I just want to make sure I'm allowed to zoom in and still be able to vote and still
push. Of course you will. Just like Rita's doing now.
Yeah, all right. I just want to double, triple check.
You'll just make sure to provide Patricia with your address from where you're participating.
Great. Well, I'm going to be in Vienna, so good luck finding me.
Post a notice on your door.
All right, I think I'm done. Thank you.
I was going to say, is that all?
You know me.
Well, I do know you. Yeah. That's why I asked. Are you sure you're done? Thank you very much, Director Lee.
So clarification, is this, because I noticed that some of the questions were not really clarifying questions. So. Okay, no, wonderful.
We go to the.
No, absolutely. So the first question, you know, like when we met in the 27th, one of the things they stipulate is it important for us to not have any bias. Have you talked to any members of the board since that day?
Yes, but not about mapping.
Okay, good. Thank you for that answer. Second thing, right? I notice, can you go ahead and go to those maps? It's just a picture of the maps, you know. Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, that's perfect. What I see is a whole bunch of lines, right? And, you know, I know specifically on the Voting Rights Act, we had to match it up to census block groups. But what I didn't hear was any mentions about precincts or consolidated precincts. So the first question is, are we mapping to the precincts or are we not mapping to the precincts?
Precincts are made up of census blocks. So we are not mapping to precincts. We're mapping to census blocks. That's the highest definition. If you want to map to precincts as an additional overlay, we can arrange that. So you can do just like we can do an overlay of the, and there's green lines there for the city and unincorporated community boundaries. We could do that so you could see where the precinct boundaries are too, if you were interested in doing that.
The reason why I ask that is because, you know, when the voters vote, the lines are drawn around, you know, typically the consolidated precincts, which is basically a cluster of the precincts. If we draw outside those boundaries, right, and basically split up a precinct, is that allowed? So how are voters tracked or tracked accurately on the statement of vote?
So their address will determine what their ballot looks like. These days, when with the print on demand and mailed out ballots, they can be customized to that level.
Okay, so basically, we do not have to tie the districts specifically to the precincts at all.
Okay, so just a point of clarification on that. Examples of that already exist on Fairmont Ridge, for example. There are areas that are precincts that are split between Oraloma and Castro Valley Sanitary District.
Okay. I want to thank you for the presentation and covering up, specific areas like the CVRA, the FVRA, and I'll call it the FMA, which is the Fair Maps Act. Do we have links to that on our site?
We can make sure that they are there, though. We can, it's easy enough to link to a Granicus, so that the specific legal language is available for anyone who wants to see it.
That's exactly what I'm looking for, because I think it's important for, when folks are drawing maps, they should also have the opportunity to read, the actual acts themselves. So that way they understand what they're trying to match against specifically. So I just want to make sure that we have that. Now, you also mentioned, I noticed that you talked about the counts specifically in the cities, and that is from the 2020 decennial census.
Correct.
Data.
Yes.
Where is that data available?
Available from the U.S. Census website. They have things they call Tiger Files, mm-hmm. where you can download info from any state and have the complete 2020 census maps down to the census block.
Okay, can we make that available on our site, or at least a link, so that way that the users who want to play around with the data as well, that they can actually access that information?
Up to your staff, but yeah, or you're able to command your staff to do that. But that data, though, just a forewarning, is in data files that the public generally can't access unless they have GIS or, mm-hmm. Data analytical tools. So it's not in a very user-friendly state. It's much, much more user-friendly using a tool like this, where you can actually just mouse over a given tract and see what its demographics are.
I think it's important for us to have data, basically just to tie back to the data source. So, if we can make sure that our staff has access to the data, and I think what you just shared with me is that the data is probably embedded in shape files.
Combo. So there are shape files with data, but there are also just raw data files as well.
Tab delimited or something like that, a spreadsheet.
Yeah. So I don't have anything like that. That's broken out into an easy to share format, but the U.S. Census has all of that data publicly and freely available for now. Hopefully it stays that way.
It's a pretty complicated site. That's why I think it's, having it available, at least downloadable on our site, it just makes it easier for them to, if those who choose to want to do the analysis can actually do the analysis, even if it's into the block level. How many census tracts do we have in our district?
I have the total in front of me.
Okay. I would imagine that not all of them are complete census tracts. We probably have some partial census tracts, correct?
Correct. Especially when a district is an infrastructure district, it doesn't really care where, it cares where the pipes are, not where the census tract lines are drawn. And so there are census blocks that have been split on this map.
Okay. Does the county have any requirement that we need to comply with their consolidated precincts, at least the way they've, because their consolidated precincts have deviated and changed over the years? Is there any requirement for us to comply with that?
One for the ROV. We'll have to get that nailed down.
Okay. That's something that we should look into at least. Okay. Because if that's going to have an influence, that's going to impact how the maps are drawn.
So you are allowed to draw the maps however mm-hmm. you see fit, as long right. as they comply. And it would and the ROV could push back, but you can make the map how you want it to be.
Okay. I think it's important for us to find out if that's a requirement. If it's not a requirement, then no harm, no foul. But then if they say, hey, you need to basically have these clustered together for whatever reasons, we need to at least understand that requirement. I think that's all the questions I have.
Good enough.
Yes.
Most of which I didn't understand. But that's me. So, Matt, I want to just say a couple of things to you. First of all, this is a very involved board. It is going to be helpful in the future work that we do with you that we get a copy of everything you put on the screen. That map would have been intensely helpful here today for us. So I would suggest that you send that map and the links to all the F groups, the FRA and the FR and the F map and whatever. Send all that to staff so they can then forward it to this board. And then make sure that the next meeting we have with you, that whatever you're going to talk to us about, we have a picture of it. Because this board does do its homework. And it is nice to have stuff in advance. So having said that, you indicated that you will create 5 maps yourself. Is there some reason? Oh, for 5 because of the 5 districts. All right. So if you're going to create 5 district maps, how will you take into account the maps the public does with the ones that you prepare? Will you incorporate any portion of the maps that the public presents?
Perhaps. It depends on the quality of the maps that the public presents. But the key input for me from the public will be the community of interest maps that they generate and try to take that into account. But mostly I'm going to be looking at, you know, what is, how do we keep our communities together rather than splitting them up? And how do we keep equal population? There's quite a lot you can do with those basic elements and along with contiguity and consolidation. So I'll be making a personal judgment call on what I think are the fairest maps that I can think of without any, you know, favor towards any member of the board at all. Just looking at it strictly from a, you know, mapping logistics standpoint. And then the merits of each of those will be, you know, fully laid out with all the analytics I can muster for you all to have a deep discussion about. And you may decide that any map I've generated is not as good as something that someone from the public has put together. And that's going to be entirely up to you.
And so the whole point of doing public hearings is to allow the public to present maps. We can't just shoo them away because they maybe have one piece of their map that doesn't look right. So I'm just wondering how we piece it all together in the end.
And during these here, the third and fourth hearing, I can live edit these maps while we have discussion. So if there's a part of a map that you really like, but there's another part that you want to change, we can do that live during the meeting and generate a new map for the next hearing.
I would suggest that you be prepared to incorporate 5 different opinions about your map just from this board, never mind the public. I'm just curious, from my understanding that when you renew your driver's license, that you automatically become a voter. I believe your name is automatically sent to the county as a voter. So theoretically, all the people in our district of the right age would be potential voters. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So, and according to the map and the information you presented on the timelines, my apologies for my cranky voice. No map will be accepted after April 1st. I mean, I think that's what I heard you say.
That's final fourth hearing, be able to review them. It needs to be handed in 7 days prior to the 12th. There's a Cinco de Mayo and other things are happening around then. So I think people may be gone. Easter is.
I can't hear you, Matt.
Yep. Sorry, the mic has died. Thanks for catching that. So the final hearing on deciding which maps you like and want to edit, you can still edit maps during that meeting and vote on them then, because it's a...
During what meeting? I'm lost.
During the meeting of the 12th.
My question to you was, is April 1st the last date that any public map can be submitted?
Yes.
So whoever's going to do drawing of maps other than you has to do that before April 1st.
Correct.
And so if that's the case, then why are we having public meetings public hearings in other locations? All five of our meetings are out in the public view. And I was under the impression that the public hearing in another location was for people to submit their maps. You're saying, I guess, that it's just for them to comment on the maps?
And it'd be part of the discussion, yes, yes.
Matt, can you clarify, you say on May 1st that the second draft due, is that an opportunity for public to submit additional maps for consideration by the fourth public hearing?
For May 1st, that's to give ample time so that we're well ahead of the 7 days required for the May 12th meeting.
The question had to do with the public submitting a separate map.
So yeah, that would be the limit. As long as it's, I put these out as tentative dates for when it was due so that we have ample time to get those maps published.
So again, my question to you is, when is the last date the public can submit any map for consideration?
May 1st.
No, you said it was April 1st.
Sorry, on this map, on the calendar here. Yeah, April 1st is the first draft deadline. If they want to have on the hearing on the 14th, on April 14th, any map that's been submitted after April 1st would not be on that meeting's agenda. Whereas for the meeting on the 12th of May, May 1st is the deadline for getting maps on the agenda.
I'm totally confused.
I get it.
So for the meetings where you're going to go over the maps in detail, the public has to have published all of the maps that are going to be discussed 7 days prior to that meeting.
All the ones that have been submitted to that point.
Yes.
And then others can be to May 12th.
Up to May 1st.
May 1st, okay.
Sorry, there's a lot of moving parts to this calendar.
It's very confusing the way it's written, so... all right, so that was one of my questions. So I think that will do it for me for the moment, but I do want to stress getting copies to the board and links as well. And if you can find a link for Director Lee, for the census, that would be helpful too.
I'll pull those things together while I'm here in the meeting, and they'll be emailed to staff before I leave.
Director, one final question.
Yes, just a clarifying question, right? Because we're going to get a whole bunch of different maps from the public. Does the tool have the ability to provide annotations and reasonings for their design?
Yes, comment is a big part of this. So they'll be able to write up comments about their map in detail.
You know, when you do the training, it's probably going to be very good to show that we can show where where they can comment and also show us where we can read it, because I'm pretty sure that, when folks are going to design their maps, they're probably going to look at other people's maps as well, but it actually will spark ideas that hopefully just goes across the board and helps us get to that ideal shape.
That's exactly the plan and purpose of this tool.
And I do have a community of interest in there, and I'm going to just throw it out there, right? You know, shoreline homeowners, right? Because of the fact that, you know, like, we do like our clean air.
Dr. Simon, you have one final question. Yes, go ahead.
On the five maps that you'll be preparing, just so I understand, is one map a permutation of all five different districts? And then the second map is another permutation and a third map?
Correct.
Got it. So like I got it. Thank you.
That clears it up for me as well. Final question, Mimi. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually more of a statement about my integrity. Okay. And so now two people have questioned my integrity because I know Matt and I have talked to Matt. Well, bias and somebody else in this room has also said something. And I just want everybody to hear me say that I feel like I'm a person of very high integrity. And I have never talked to Matt about maps. And I know that I'm not allowed to. I understand that. And I will not do it. But it is really kind of hurtful to me that two people in this room have said things to me or said, made me feel like, for sure, one person said something. And then the comment about the bias, I'm not sure if that was to me or somebody else. But I don't think I've ever displayed anything but integrity on this board. And I would like to just call that to attention. I'd like that to be on the public record that I am a person of high integrity. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Dean. Make it fast and try not to be argumentative.
Absolutely. Number one is that was not my intent. I have Matt's number as well. I would expect that he doesn't talk to me as well. Actually, I've known Matt for probably about 16 or 17 years now. If I was to discuss with him, then that's violating my integrity. And if that was how it was interpreted, my apologies.
I think we all five members of this board have integrity, and we appreciate your work, Matt. Thank you. Alex, do you have any final comment?
No.
Erica, anything from you? Mr. Deng?
The staff was directed from the board to look into other venues for the remaining four hearings. So first, staff requires concurrence from the board that these five hearing dates are the dates that we want to settle on, because that way staff can start planning, booking these other venues. So can I at least get that first from the board? So those dates are the second hearing being March 24th, which is exactly a month from now. These are all regular board meeting dates, correct?
If they're all regular board
meetings. Moving the hearing dates, because they're not on every single board meeting.
Oh, well, which ones are not?
All on regular board meetings, but I need to know which dates are going to be at different venues, because it's not at every single board meeting. It skips board meetings at times. So the next board meeting, we would have the second hearing would be March 24th. So we have another board meeting March 10th that doesn't have a hearing there, which is why it's going to take place here. So I need to confirm the four remaining dates with the board. These are dates that Alex proposed last time we met, and also the dates that show up on Mr. Turner's table today, which is second hearing March 24th, third hearing April 14th, fourth hearing May 12th, and fifth hearing May 26th. If I can just get an okay on all of those, then we can start booking venues.
They're all on dates, except for one or two, but I have no problem with them. Fred, do you have a problem with them?
Question. We're going to have remote access to all of the locations?
That's where I'm going to get to next after the dates are confirmed.
Okay, so it depends. If someone is not physically here, then they won't work. So we have to know if we have remote access or not. Like Mimi.
All of them will be on Zoom.
Oh, no, that's what I'm getting to next.
Got it.
So so the board also asked staff to do some research on venues. So we presented last time the Marina Community Center, Cherryland Community Center, Ashland Community Center, Reach, Fairview Fire Station. So the Marina Community Center is not available at all on any Tuesday period for the spring and the summer because they have both rooms that have AV that are booked for other meetings. So we looked at the Senior Community Center in San Leandro. So that would be our first proposed location. It does have Wi-Fi and does have AV, audio video. Now, Cherryland Community Center has Wi-Fi, but they don't have AV. So if we want to broadcast this, staff will have to go purchase equipment, which is what we talked about last time. The recommended equipment that we're missing right now is about a $4,000 projector in order for it to be useful in a large room. And then we'd have to purchase a separate laptop and so that we can all take notes and still run the presentation and the meeting at the same time. Ashland Community Center has no Wi-Fi and has no audio video. And lastly, the Fairview Fire Protection District and the station haven't responded to us yet. We haven't been able to reach them.
Summarize one more time. Who has remote access?
Only location that has remote access is Senior Community Center in San Leandro and Cherryland Community Center, except they don't have audio video equipment.
Senior is the only one that doesn't cost us additional money.
Besides the rental.
Besides the
correct
room.
No additional equipment.
That's on East 14th.
It's right next
in
to the
our
hospital.
District. It's in our district.
Near Ghirardelli. Yeah.
Checking.
Okay.
Same
so.
One. Out of one.
There's one. And it sounds like, Director Dean, you're going to be out for one.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else out for any of these?
Hand is up. Rita, go ahead.
Yes, my question, Jimmy, is you're saying it's like what, $4,000, $5,000?
For the recommended projector from IT, yes, the video projector.
Is that the total cost of need financially?
I'm sorry, can you ask that again?
Is that the total need of expenses for this?
Oh, and the laptop. So we're probably looking anywhere between $4,000 to $6,000 total.
Okay, well.
Plus the rental of the venues.
Wi-Fi.
Okay, I have no issue with you spending that much of money for this. I think it's a very good cost. And I'm sure somewhere in the future we can use the equipment that you would be purchasing. That's my recommendation. I do think we should be able to access any of the meetings in any location, because never know when things in our life change that will make us impossible for us perhaps to attend a meeting. So that's my recommendation. I mean, the mere fact that I'm here in Washington, D.C., although it's, 9 o'clock, I'm able to participate. And so I don't think that that's a lot of money for us to make sure that the board members can, be a part of this process, or not just the board members, but our ratepayers. So that's my recommendation, is to spend the money.
Thank you. Simon, you aren't finished.
So as far as the equipment, I understand the projector, but a laptop, we have multiple laptops around. Is there a laptop that we could borrow from a staff member rather than purchase?
Yeah, that's one? Just the worst case scenario.
Okay, all right. So I'm around, especially if Director Duncan is recommending remote access. These dates work for me, and I'm open to it.
I absolutely believe that, that our residents need to be able to access remotely. So, you know what, one of the critical things is if the facility doesn't have any kind of broadband access. When I say broadband, I'm not talking about, just minimal, because minimal could actually reduce the experience because it will cause disconnections and delays. I think we need to also verify the type of broadband that's available at those facilities. If those facilities don't have sufficient broadband, they should be crossed off the list, right? Because I think I'm hearing it from the board. The board wants to make sure that we have remote access for the public. So, you know, I know that, you know, the Ashland Center, that's actually an area of the digital divide. You would be lucky to find any kind of broadband access there. Unfortunately, that's one of the areas that we want. But because it does not have that availability for people to connect remotely, it should be crossed off the list.
We do plan on using a hotspot or bringing a Wi-Fi hotspot to connect so that people can log in that way.
The Wi-Fi hotspots don't have that sufficient bandwidth. You can test it and see.
We're going to have to go test.
That's the thing. Yeah, that'll take staff time, but it'd be good to test it ahead of time. And then one thing that you have to bear in mind, that hotspot connects to a cell tower. It could be possible that we have a packed room, which also disrupts that signal. All right, when you have like 20, 30 people in the audience, that means you have 20, 30 more cellular devices that accesses that same cell tower. So during your test, that test may not be a valid test because it doesn't really replicate what we're going to be experiencing.
And, you know, my recommendation was for you to also look and see where the MACs held their meetings, you know, like Castro Valley Library, you know.
Yeah, we have to be in the district.
Be in our district, though, Rita. Castro Valley Library is not in our district.
Okay.
However, the San Lorenzo Library is in our district. Did we not check with them? Well,
trying to go to different areas like as directed by the board. So now we're going to go test these venues, and if they don't work, we're going to start looking at other venues right away. And they may not be in perfect geographical locations equidistant from each other because we're just kind of tied, our hands are tied at some point. But staff will do their best.
I can be so I'm sorry, Rita, did you want to speak again?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to make sure where was my recommendation for approval of spending the additional funds to make sure the board members and our constituents have access to participating via Zoom.
I don't think any member of the board has disagreed with your thought of spending the money.
I didn't hear that.
Well, we hadn't actually voted or anything, but I don't see any movement on this board that would say otherwise.
Okay, thank you.
And I was going to say, once we get through three public hearings, if we don't have a large number of people coming to those meetings, I don't see any reason why we can't have the final public hearing here in this room.
I mean,
that's assuming we figure out how many people have come to all these other meetings. I mean, we had one person in our boardroom tonight, and we have three people online. So, but this is only the first meeting, so it's entirely possible the next meetings will have people who want to draw maps. So, bearing in mind that Rita has suggested that we go ahead and spend the money to buy whatever the staff needs. Does anybody disagree with that? Show of hands.
I haven't spoken yet, so you skip me.
No, we're all speaking, and I'm sorry that I skipped you. Let's go to Director Dean.
So I'm looking at this list that we got, and we've got the Fairview Fire, no response. We've got Ashland Community Center, no Wi-Fi, no AV, and then I listened very carefully to what Benny said, and that really concerns me. Thank you for bringing that up. That was good. We've got the Cherryland Community Center. It's got the Wi-Fi, but it's got no AV, but we don't know about their Wi-Fi connection. We don't know how strong it is. We've got the Senior Center. I've never been to a meeting there. Has anybody else?
Oh,
yes.
It's got really good Wi-Fi?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Great. And then Marina's not available. So I'm only seeing the San Leandro Community Center as an absolute option. I'm seeing the Cherryland Community Center as perhaps an option if we buy the equipment that we need. But the other places I'm thinking aren't really options. So I get it that we want to be out there in the community, but part of me is starting to feel like if we're doing all this stuff so people can Zoom, what's wrong with being here and Zooming? And I just like somebody to talk about that. Like, what's wrong with just doing all the meetings here and Zooming from here? Because it seems like the preferred method that people want to attend our meetings. I'm just putting it out there.
I completely 100%.
Oh, snap. I can't believe it. I can't
believe that we actually said that.
So can we just discuss that a little bit, please?
Well, let me see if I can get to Director Simon, who keeps doing this.
Yeah, I think one spot, if we can get out easily to the senior community center, I say let's do it.
Yes.
Where it's difficult, I'm open to your concern. The other option we have is video takes a lot more bandwidth than audio. And you don't, that's enough. People can physically call. I mean, they can call in on Zoom. You can call in using your phone, dialing in on Zoom. So if we really wanted to go to a place, we could just say only audio connection is available. I'm just throwing it out there. It's an option. But I senior center, I think we definitely need to do it. And I'm open and flexible to reducing the other sites. Plus, it's easier on staff because staff has to be jumping through all these hoops.
Your hand. Are you done, Director Simon?
Yes.
Mr. Dang.
Just to provide more information, you're absolutely correct. Audio only would be much less bandwidth, but then they won't be able to see the maps that are being presented.
Exactly.
So that is the downside.
Possible that we ask the audience what they think, our constituents? Is that not okay?
I'm not sure that's part of our...
I have no idea.
I don't think we can.
Can they put stuff in the chat?
They can certainly put something in the chat. And
in the chat, my friend.
Someone, I mean, it might show up on our screen, but I would suggest that we allow the general manager to do his due diligence, checking out these locations, and report back on what you find. And then let's have our first community meeting at the San Leandro Senior Center and see how that goes and make a decision about whether we come back to... We don't have to publish the location of all of the public hearings tomorrow. So then we can take into consideration both what Director Simon said and Director Dean, with which I totally agree. And Director Duncan, did you have another comment? Do you understand what we're talking about?
Yeah, I just think that, all respect, I live in Fairview and the senior center in San Leandro is a distance. You know, my preference would be maybe we do it at the senior center and also at the San Lorenzo Library. That's a little bit closer for people, given the dates, if people from the Fairview area or the Castro Valley area want to attend. So maybe not just the senior center, but also the San Lorenzo Library. Because I know the Board of Supervisors have their meetings there and they don't seem to have an issue at the San Lorenzo Library.
Thank you. Dr. Dean?
It might be hard to book. And could I just ask that we schedule the meeting where I'm going to be in Vienna? Could that please be here so I don't miss a meeting? Is that amenable to people? I mean, or am I asking too much? I just don't want to have a meeting somewhere where I can't log in.
Is anybody on this board? Yeah, go ahead, Rita.
Well, it's not just you. It's also our constituents. And
absolutely.
And you don't think you'd be able to log in from the San Lorenzo Library?
No, what I'm asking is, can we make sure that one date that I talked about, that we have a location that's workable, whether it's the San Lorenzo Library or the San Leandro Senior Center or the Oro Loma District Office. I would like to have a place that we know for sure 100% is high quality Wi-Fi and bandwidth that Benny's talking about. That's all. That's all I'm asking.
She's talking about May the 12th.
Well, my comment is really, you know, if we say that we want to be in the community and we have two meetings in the community, one in the senior center and then one at the San Lorenzo Library, I think we've met, you know, that expectation, and the rest could be, you know, here at Oro Loma. I mean, I'm not here at Oro Loma, but they can be at Oro Loma. That's how I view it.
I'm good with that.
I could live with that.
Thank you, Rita. And Director Dean said she could live with that. And I'm seeing head shaking at this board that we can all live with that. Can you live with that, Mr. Deng? Two locations?
Absolutely.
And the rest here. And the one on May 12th. And the one on May 12th should be in this room.
No problem.
Okay. Is everybody clear now on those dates so that he can do his work and it's less work on staff now? And they won't have to go out and buy more equipment. But if they need equipment to buy, we're okay with it.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Turner, you have your mark.